It's KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
Indeed, which means, among other things, it is indeed time for Talking Animals, and for this next hour of programming, therefore, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. But it is time now for Talking Animals, and as promised, we're going to focus on Nellie McKay. So we're going to start off with sort of an animal-related song of hers called Ding Dong on KUCI.
My cat died and I quickly poured myself some gin. Did she die from old age or was it for my sins? God, I loved her oh so much, miss her little kitty touch. Does she miss me, does she care? Oh, I miss her kitty stare. Do you have a little time? Would you like to ease my mind? Talk for hours and never stop. Chop your head off. Be a lighter person, brighter person, nicer. But you've heard it all before. So ding dong, there's the doorbell. Hello, man in white. He's gonna make you all well, get you through the night. But hey, now you don't feel better as you take your fresh bromide. Maybe this man of letters lies. Tell you about a dream I had the other night. You were in it, boy, you sure gave me a super fright. I was walking down the street, downtown by the DMV. You popped out behind a door, it was odd, you're on all fours. Do you have some time to spare? You were barking at a bear. It said, hey, you'd better stop, chop your head off. Be a lighter person, brighter person, nicer, but you heard it. Into bed, but hey, now you don't feel better as you wake and slowly rise. Maybe this is the jet set alive. Stick around 1 minute more. I'm smarter than you think. Do I sound like an old bore? Oh man, it's just the drink. I didn't always hit the gym. There were times when I fit in. They'll never know how much I tried. Did I tell you my cat died? Do you have a little time? Would you like to feel sublime? Run away and never stop. Chop your head off. Be a lighter person, brighter person, nicer. But you've heard it all before. So ding dong, there's the doorbell. Hello, man in black. He's gonna make you all well. There's no going back. But hey, now you don't feel better as you drift off in the tide. Maybe this check the river light and you die.
All right, let's get the proper music right off the bat, shall we? Right after we heard that song, which was a Ding Dong. Music from Nellie McKay, our guest today, just to get a little ahead of ourselves, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, if you will, is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you, for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. Come on, we make it easy for you. And I absolutely urge you to use that number. Call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love to get calls. Otherwise, we get a bit lonely here at the KUCI studios. And we're pretty darn friendly here at Talking Animals, especially so with callers. Plus, Nellie McKay is joining us live today, and we've been told we'll be quite happy to take calls from listeners. So, all kinds of reasons to join us. Give us a call. Of course, other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our website at talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. It's been more than 10 months since we launched Talking Animals, and we've been enormously fortunate during that time to have a long string of terrific guests, ranging just in recent weeks from comedian, actress, activist Janine Garofalo to Dr. Dee Boersma, one of the world's most renowned experts on penguins, to Alan Young, who played Wilbur Post on Mr. Ed. Last week we had Darren Troutwine from Kissy Cat, an online dating service for animal lovers. So we cover the gamut. So not only are the shows featuring those interviews, except Darren's, that's not up there yet, but anyways, the shows featuring those interviews are otherwise archived on our nifty website at www.talkinganimals.net. And also, of course, our stream of exceptional guests continues today when we speak with the aforementioned, if I'm use the word aforementioned, and I think I can, Nellie McKay, the 19-year-old piano-playing, genre-traversing singer-songwriter who's recently released double-disc debut, no less, Get Away From Me, has drawn a boatload of rave reviews. She'll be chatting with us about the animal songs and references on her album, her commitment to animal rights and activism, the huge number of animals in her life, past and present, and more. She'll be joining us in a few minutes, and she's joining us live, and we're told, again, quite happy to take your calls, so... that should be both fun and informative. That's just in a few minutes' time here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, on the show, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. And I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments, questions about animals, issues of one kind or another, not just the animal news items, but any other topic you care to discuss. If there's an event you have that we should know about right away, you can call that in. Otherwise, again, you can email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. Any other observations, stories you might have spotted that should be called to our attention, all be most welcome at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically these are local, regional, national, occasionally international animal stories of note that seem important to the spotlight, and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We'll also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities, or in this case today, classes, that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So, all right, let's talk turkey, as it were. I'm going to start off briefly, as I am always pretty inclined to do, briefly hitting at least on Tiger Rescue. So again, that's the facility out in Colton, California, the so-called sanctuary, where just awful neglect and abuse was taking place, and been in the news off and on for a year plus, and I've been talking about it for darn near that long. The point is, the proprietor, of course, was removed from having any control over his animals, facing criminal charges, and that trial has been postponed numerous times, but it's now coming up on April 19th. But let me tell you what the trial will involve. This so-called sanctuary had bunches of tigers and other big cats, all of which were really poorly neglected, in some cases you could say abused. Anyway, so he's gone, and for most of that, better part of that year, this amazing man named Chuck Tracy has stepped in to oversee the day-to-day operation, because his animals, many of them at least, are still there and need to be looked after, of course. So, and he's doing so with an amazing rotating battalion of volunteers who drive in from all parts of Southern California, in some cases Northern California, I think a few times now, and even out of state. Basically involves, looking after the animals, cleaning their enclosures, watering them down, feeding them, looking after any things that might give them more stimulation or make them more comfortable. So it's really, really cool. And I say this for a couple of reasons. One is Well, the story's going to have a bit of a happy ending soon, in that they'll be relocated to this amazing 10-acre habitat that's being created for them within this gigantic sanctuary up in Northern California, San Andreas. The PAWS operates at a place called ARC 2000. But meanwhile, they're still there, and so still need volunteers. So if you could ever carve out a weekend day, a weekday even if you have it, if you're on break or you know, want to sneak away from work, I'm not advocating that, of course, but if you happen to do so and you want to go help a bunch of cool tigers, I got the idea for you. So anyway, let us know, talkinganimals@aol.com, if you think you can do that. You'll have an amazing experience, I absolutely guarantee it. And we'll hook you up with the people who oversee that. Plus, I want to say that next Monday on Talking Animals, we are going to feature a lengthy and very cool, interesting interview with Chuck Tracy. So I've been trying to get him on the show for months and months, and I think just because he was just exhausted, as Ned still is, and there was legal issues left and right, you know, he just kind of wanted to hold off. But now it's almost better, because the story really does have kind of a relatively speaking, a cool, happy ending. So anyways, I hope you'll join us for that next Monday on Talking Animals. But again, I hope that you'll see if you can carve out some time. And also, if you want to go to www.fund.org, I hope that's right. At least search for Fund for Animals. I may have the website wrong. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. But to see if you could donate, because they're still trying to, you know, cover the cost of building this amazing habitat and enclosures there. So anything you could do, time, dough, both, one, anything would be great. So that's Tiger Rescue. And again, Chuck Tracy next Monday on Talking Animals, April 12th. More locally, but certainly cat-related, going to read this to you. Came from Saturday's LA Times, from the Rip and Read news department. It could be the prey, it could be the water, maybe it's just the ambiance, but something, wildlife officials say, is drawing a young cougar to a man-made waterfall at the entrance to Dove Canyon in Orange County, making residents already wary from a fatal attack on a cyclist think twice about venturing out on nearby nature trails. Steve Edinger, assistant chief of the California Department of Fish and Game, said the cougars, also known as mountain lions and pumas, are creatures of habit. If they find something good on a walk, they will return a week later. Quote, it's been successful either drinking in that area or hunting an animal, but something draws it back. Security cameras first caught the cougar at Plano Trabuco Road and Dove Canyon Drive on March 24th, about 3 a.m. It was caught again on videotape Wednesday, about the same time. The animal, which officials estimate weighs 60 to 80 pounds, did not appear aggressive. And the story continues from there, but always interesting when those animals, for one reason or another, you know, encroach on people. And of course, really, it's the other way around, which has typically caused this, but especially with the attacks recently in this area, that's not surprisingly got people nervous. So, thoughts, comments, what to do, if anything on that? 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. Also, I've talked off and on ever since in August, where we had on the show Tawny Lee Thompson, a vet tech from the Saddleback area, who teaches Red Cross sanctioned classes on pet first aid and CPR. We heard all about those then. And of course, there's been periodically you know, more of those classes offered. So I did just get a note from her saying that there's some more coming up. And basically how it works is it's just one day. It's a Sunday from noon to 5, and they cover all kinds of cool things that you would want to do and know for you know, any kind of injury your pet sustained, or if they're having trouble breathing, or any kind of difficulty like that. And you get a cool book, and you get certified, and again, it's Red Cross sanctioned. So anyways, the next class is coming up this month, is on April 25th, and it's going to be in Huntington Beach. There's another one looking ahead a little bit on May 16th. So you can call Tawny at 949-586-4250 for more information, or you can email her at jezebel.lee1@cox.net. But you can call either Tawny, or if she's tied up with animal duties at her day job, you can also ask for Trina at that same number, 949-586-4250. And Also, tying into a guest we had on the show some time ago, I mentioned this last week, but certainly bears repeating. You might remember we had Sonny Benedict on from Baja Animal Sanctuary, and that's just over the border in Rosarito Beach, and trying to look after hundreds of animals that, as you might imagine, are you know, not having sometimes the greatest life down there. And of course, spay-neuter isn't necessarily a huge embraced concept. So anyways, the Sonny Benedict woman is just amazing, but up against a lot. And related to that, in fact, she is moving the sanctuary to their better location, and where they're more able to care for more animals. And also, I mean, just as a measure of the kind of things she's been up against, the city decided to open a pound right next to the existing facility. And it's been a whole set of problems related to that I won't go into now. But at any rate, what I guess I'm saying is I'm hoping that, you know, you could help them, if you haven't, you know, depleted your dough from helping Tiger Rescue, send a couple bucks their way, because, again, to relocate is going to cost them, obviously, a chunk of change. So what I'd like to suggest is if you go to their website and kind of check out all about them, it's really an amazing operation. It's www.bajadogs.org. And then the upper right-hand corner, there's a little section, would you like to make a donation? And I hope your answer is yes. Okay. So, it's time now for our mid-news quick quiz. It's an instant quiz. It's true, false, one question. But if you correctly answer the question and you're first to call in with that, you get a prize. And as I like to point out, these aren't just crummy prizes. We got CDs and books that tied to previous guests on Talk Animals. We've got shirts and hats and umbrellas and raincoats and stuff, all kind of related to various animal organizations. We've got collars and trinkets and jewelry, even animal. Come on, we got good stuff. Are you kidding me? So, and that applies later for Name That Animal Tunes. So these are good prizes, I guess is my point, which I'm making redundantly. All right. So here's our question. True, false. The first person to call is in the correct answer. 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. We'll get their choice of that vast treasure chest of cool prizes. All right, here we go. The average weight of a horse's head is less than 12 pounds, more than twice as heavy as a human head. True, false. 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. All right, we got time for maybe one or two more, and then we want to get Nellie McKay on the phone. How about that? Yeah, cool. All right, so this also ran in the last couple of days in the LA Times. Headline, Swordfish off Hawaii are again fair game. It starts, after a three-year shutdown, federal officials Tuesday reopened commercial swordfish operations off Hawaii, providing all U.S. flagged boats use experimental fishing gear designed to reduce the inadvertent catch of endangered sea turtles. The decision will allow dozens of boats to rejoin foreign vessels as part of the $300 million a year industry. Swordfish fishermen from California who are facing an impending ban off the state's coastline also will be eligible to fish Hawaiian waters as long as they use the new gear. Virtually all swordfish are caught with long lines that are strewn with hooks and unfurled for 50 miles or more from the stern of a boat. Besides swordfish, the hooks catch turtles, seabirds, marlin, and sharks. Although they are thrown back, many do not survive. Under the new rules, the boats will have to use a different style of hook and bait that have shown some promise in reducing the catch of leatherback and loggerhead turtles, both protected under the Endangered Species Act. Quote, it's the ultimate experience, said Sam Pooley, regional administrator of the National Marine Fishery Services in Honolulu. Cooley said that each boat would have to carry a federal observer to keep track of any hooked turtles. The boats catch more than 16 leatherback or 17 loggerheads during the six-month season. Federal managers will close the fishery for the remainder of the calendar year. So, sea turtle conservationists who forced the closure of the swordfish fishery with federal court decisions in Hawaii and California said they would closely watch the experiment. They're skeptical that the initial test results of the fishing gear are sufficient to justify redeploying the Pacific Fleet. Well, thoughts, comments, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. And I think we'll hit one more, and then it's Nelly time. I want to tell you about, as I've also mentioned many, many times before, the Animal Rescue Site. It's indeed a website. The address is www.theanimalrescuesite.com. You go there and you click on the section that says Feed an Animal in Need for free, and you go every day if you can, and that releases funds to indeed feed animals at various rescue facilities and also provide care for them. So it does not seem to be a downside or a catch. It's basically just that corporate sponsors and advertisers have decided to get involved this way and use the number of daily visits to then donate food and money for services to the abandoned, neglected animals at these facilities in exchange for that advertising. So what's not to like there, folks? Right? Okay. So anyway, I think that's going to do it for today's edition of the news. Of course, if there are ever news stories or announcements of events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@AOL.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@AOL.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, perhaps redundantly so, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site at www.talkinganimals.net. That's .net, folks. And join the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of the shows, pretty much all the shows we've done, really. It's behind on a couple of archives, but otherwise, it's all there for you, folks. There's also photographs, articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces, and more. So please stop by and take a look around the site. Again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which, as always, of course, involves an animal-oriented piece of comedy. This is Ellen DeGeneres with a piece called Birds Mating on today's Comedy Corner here at KUCI.
This is a weird mating habit. I learned this playing Trivial Pursuit, which is a game that I absolutely hate. I don't know if you hate the game as much. I think stupid people, don't clap, stupid people hate it the most, because you're just... trying to save you. Because you're just sitting there, you wait, because you're just waiting for it to be your turn so you can say, I don't know. Danny Kaye, I don't know. You're just guessing anything. I get the question, what is the only animal that mates while going 80 miles an hour? And it is? Yeah. The eagle. Yeah, good guesses, though, but thanks for playing. It's, Danny Kaye was a bad guess. I realize that now. I had read that somewhere, but it wasn't true. It's the eagle, and this is what they do. This is really how they mate. The male and the female golden eagle both go 3 to 4 miles high. They start going 80 miles an hour, which is incredibly fast, and then they connect. I don't know either. And then they start dropping, and they don't stop dropping until the act is completed. So it's not uncommon that they both fall all the way to the ground, hit the ground, both of them die. That's how committed they are to this. I don't know about you, but if I'm one of these two birds, you're getting close to the ground, I would seriously consider faking it.
All right, that was Ellen DeGeneres with a piece called Birds Mating, taken from her CD entitled Taste This. The Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you are indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at kuci.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way, and some of you perhaps got there through our nifty website, talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed in Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Nellie McKay, a wonderful new singer-songwriter who, in the 2 months since the release of her debut album, Get Away From Me, has made all kinds of fans, drawn a boatload of rave reviews. She's also big into animals, as well as animal rights and activism. So while we get her on the phone with us, this is as good a time as any to hear an animal song. And one of hers, of course. This is Nellie Mackay with the dog song on Talking Animals here on KUCI.
I'm just walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along. It's just me and my dog, catching some sun, we can't go wrong. My love was lonely and blue. Yeah, I was sad as a sailor. I was an angry one too. Then there was you appeared when I was entangled with youth and fear. And nerves jangled, jangled, vermouth and beer were getting me mangled up. But then I looked in your eyes, and I was no more a failure. You looked so wacky and wise. And I said, Lord, I'm happy, cause I'm just a walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along. Catching some sun, we can't go wrong. I don't care about your hate and your doubt, and I don't care what the politicians found. If we need a companion, much more by the pound, find yourself a hound and make that dog get proud, cause that's what it's all about. My love was tragic and sad. I was the archetypal loser. I was a pageant gone bad. Then there was you on time and wagging your tail in the cutest mime. And you was in jail. I said, whoops, be mine. And you gave away. And then I was no longer alone. And I was no more a boozer. We'll make the happiest home. And I said, Lord, I'm happy, girls. I'm just walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along. It's just me and my dog, catching some sun. We can't go wrong. I don't care about your hate and your doubt, and I don't care what the politicians spout. If you need a companion, why just go out by the pound and find yourself a hound and make that dog get proud. That's what it's all about. 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 Good dog.
All right, that was Nellie Mackay with the dog song from her debut collection, called Get Away From Me, and now she's here, so let's welcome Nellie Mackay. Are you there, Nellie?
I am here, yes, thank you.
Cool, welcome to Talking Animals.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I know you're just like working the night and day, and I'm sure this was a day off, or supposed to be, and I'm sure you'd rather be snoozing, resting, whatever, but we also get to talk about animals, which I know is a big passion of yours, so hopefully that's okay.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And no, it wasn't a day off anyway. It's just the first of the day. So
I see. All right. Well, I felt bad because, you know, when you call someone and they have that, you woke me up, but I don't really want to make you feel bad kind of voice. So anyway, first, congratulations on how well things are going with the record and the shows and down South by Southwest. And I saw you last week at the Knitting Factory, and it was so great. But also, it just seemed like you're having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, I am. And the audiences have just been terrific. And it's all about them, really. You know, I think going to a show is actually a very narcissistic pursuit because, you know, you get to determine whether or not a performer has a good time or not. And in L.A., they were really, really kind. So
yeah.
So hence, I had a good time. It's all dependent upon them and you. So, I have been having a great time. Yeah.
That's
traveling
cool.
Traveling is just, you know how it is at airports nowadays, man.
Yeah.
It's just
brutal. Yeah. So to be doing it, probably, you know, I'm sure it's getting to be more and more like a daily pursuit for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I have to say, too, back to the shows and the fun, and you know, even an L.A. crowd, at least the night I was there at the Knitting Factory, I mean, three songs in, and you had that group, which, you know, isn't, you know, sometimes can be a little tough, a little jaded, a little arms folded, you know, singing a four part, you know, dividing them into four parts, and they were singing away there on the work song. So, not bad.
I didn't know it was three songs in. That is pretty hard.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and they were really game. Yeah, and in Mandarin, no less. So
cool.
Hey, you guys, I don't know. That's pretty wonderful.
Yeah. So anyways, I obviously want to talk about music and your music, but this show, you know, ain't called Talking Animals for nothing. And again, I know you care passionately about animals and animal issues. So if it's okay, let's dive in there.
Definitely.
Okay, so I really get the distinct impression that animals have always been important to you. Is that right? Is that a good assessment?
Oh, definitely. Well, being an only child and growing up with a menagerie of animals, you know, they're not just pets. They're, you know, your brothers and sisters.
Sure. Well, so let's start with where did you grow up, and did you from day one virtually grow up with animals?
Yeah, it feels like from day one. It was in Harlem. It was in Queens when we had our first cats. And then when we moved to Harlem, we lived next to an alley, and there were just so many cats in the alley. And, you know, the bad part of the neighborhood used to stick pit bulls on them. So we adopted a lot of cats as a result. I grew up, I had nine cats, and then we kind of inadvertently, a dog was huddled outside our doorstep on New Year's Day, and, you know, what are you going to do? So we got a dog, too.
I see.
We weren't even allowed to have any pets in our building. You know how New York can be.
Sure. So, in other words, you were sneaking around for whatever period of time with nine cats, but then eventually the dog in a place where no animals were allowed?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good. Not
well,
bad.
We always kept a very clean house, so it's not like you could smell animals when you came in. But
sure,
I mean, they would poke their heads out, you know.
Well, but I would think even if you could kind of stash nine cats away, which is no small thing, when the dog entered the picture, I would think that'd be very hard to keep that totally under wraps. But exactly.
People would see him in the elevator, but we were already in litigation with our landlord, so at that point, I guess. Yeah.
I see. So really, it sounds like you pretty much always, looking back, always had a soft spot for animals and kind of just a heightened sensitivity to them. Because
It
sounds like all these cats you had were basically that you kind of rescued from the alley, if I follow you.
Yes. Well, and then my mother rescued. I was just the enabler.
The assistant rescuer. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I do think that having pets, it's so important to teach especially children empathy, and that certainly helped that.
So obviously your mom's a real animal person, real, you know, from way back when, I'm guessing, that she's been feeling this way.
Well, she's always had a very strong sense of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, since she does most of the cleaning up after them and the feeding of them, and she's gonna have to, you know, get the money to pay for their cat food and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that she's ever been such an animal lover. I think she's very realistic about it. I just think that she really believes in their rights, and she wants to, you know, protect them and give them a good home. And when it's the middle of a New York winter and you see a cat outside, you don't have much choice.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, is there, with that in mind then, and that sort of distinction in mind, is there any kind of specific time or incident when you mark the shift from, you know, here's these animals, my mom's kind of brought them in, I'm sort of helping, but in terms of your own attitude and view and kind of moving towards, you know, becoming an animal advocate, if not activist, was that just gradual, or was there something that particularly triggered that beyond just having all these cats and then the dog around?
Well, I think for both of us, both my mother and me, there was one day when we looked out, because we heard something in the alley, and it was a gentleman who was sick and a pit bull and a cat, and it ripped its throat out, and the cat kind of ran out of the alley, you know, with its throat ripped out, and we called the ASPCA, and it said, that cat's going to be dead soon, you know, it's in shock now, that's why it's being able to run, but it's going to die pretty soon. And I forget what Mom yelled down to the guy in the alley, but he yelled something back. I mean, obviously they were on two totally different wavelengths, but I think it was at that point that we really became involved in animal rights, because it was just so brutal.
Yeah.
And it was so close to home, and I think we got to see the effect of poverty, not just on the neighborhood, but on the, you know, effect of the abuse becomes the abuser, that when people don't have anything better to do, you know, or when they feel that they're being persecuted, they will become the persecutor.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so I think that was really the turning point. I was very young.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I mean, that's a pretty, if you don't mind me saying, pretty precocious, you know, view to have developed some years ago. Because if I'm not mistaken, you're 19 now, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That was when I was about 8. But, I mean, you know, I just think when you see that kind of violence in the flesh, you know,
yeah,
it's once again, I mean, I really do feel that empathy towards animals is just a, it's a natural impulse. You know, I feel that that impulse is suppressed by various things. You know, children have a natural identification with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it becomes warped somewhat because.
Well, what do you think does suppress that or warp that ability if it is a natural impulse, which I don't disagree with?
Well, I mean, it's like, well, you grow up, say maybe you have you have a teddy bear, and then you grow up, and then you're supposed to go out hunting bears with daddy. And at some point, then that has to shift, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you go from loving your teddy bear to hunting bear. You know, it's a weird thing. Or one day, you know, a kid, maybe they've gone to see, what is this new movie, Home on the Range or something, you
mm-hmm.
know? And maybe they have a cow doll from Home on the Range. And then one day they ask, you know, where their food came from, and they're like, oh, that's a cow. And then they ask, oh, I like cows. And then they say, oh, no, you know, that's what we eat. And then so then you get this kind of, it's just kind of double speak. And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, all of a sudden you start to see them not as friends but as food. And, you know, it's just, I just find that's all throughout childhood. I mean, I ate meat up until the age I was 8, and then it was kind of a reverse reaction back to that natural impulse for me. I mean, I just think, I don't know. It just, you know, as a child, I think you're very easily swayed, and
mm-hmm.
I actually think it's a very difficult thing to once teach them, you know, to watch these movies or to identify with animals and then to kind of turn them away from it. It's kind of a cruel thing to do.
Well, and too, Nellie, I think the part of the problem, obviously, is that the adults that are, you know, shaping those kids' lives, I mean, sometimes just are too busy or don't know. A lot of this is not willful, you know, sort of bad behavior. It's ignorance,
no.
You know? I mean, people that don't know what happens at circuses, people who don't understand the cruelty that goes on with, you know, having a, you know, the chicken sandwich that they're having then. I mean, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, these are the kind of things that, you know, that we at this show and many, many others are concerned with. But sometimes people just don't know. And in some cases, they don't necessarily can't, you know, act on that. But I think, yeah, like you say, to then get that imparted to a kid sometimes is really a tough process, you know. But
oh,
that's
definitely.
Why it's really cool that you sort of realized that so early. So does that mean that you've been a vegetarian since you were 8?
Yes, it was. But I can still remember the taste of that chicken sandwich, let me tell you.
Wow.
But I find that it's you know, increasingly easier to mimic as the years go by. But that's another thing. I mean, being a vegetarian and not just eating on fruits and vegetables is far too expensive, at least in this country. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Something needs to change there, too, because I realize a lot of people just can't afford it. I mean, I do think that animal rights requires the greatest degree of altruism of any cause, because you can't relate it to you. You have to completely be thinking about another being, and that's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah, but again, I think, like you say, if you can get a child somehow to start thinking in those terms early, I mean, in ways that go well beyond how they treat animals, it's just so valuable and so important. So, So our guest is singer-songwriter Nellie Mackay, who's wonderful and highly acclaimed debut album, Get Away From Me, and she's also obviously very committed to animal rights and activism. And I was told, Nellie, and let's verify this before I say this to our listeners, that you might be game to take a question or two if someone called in with one. Is that true? Are you cool with that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I had no idea that, but I'd be happy to.
Okay, well, that's why I want to chat with you. But Carla said that, you know, you might have fun doing that or be game. So anyways, our number here, if people do want to call and ask Nellie or say hey or whatever, it's 949-824-5824. Or looking at your phone pad a different way, it's 949-UCI. KUCI. So on that on the jewel case of that that very cool record, Get Away From Me, you you certainly make a point of stating that you are a PETA member. So when did you join, and how active are you?
Oh, well, extremely active. Originally on the album, we wanted to say, you know, I don't really, you know, wear stuff on my sleeve like that generally. I get quite self-conscious about that, but we wanted to donate, we wanted to say like 10% of the proceeds will be donated to PETA. But we couldn't do that because of all the World Trade stuff, that so many people wanted to donate stuff that it became a very shady business
to say
that, you know, you donate anything. So we couldn't do that, and so then in lieu of that, I said, you know, I'm a proud member of PETA. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm usually not that blatant about it, but I am very proud to be a member of PETA, so
sure.
That's why we agreed to do that in the end. And I just believe that they do such great work, and I mean I'm a committed activist to a variety of organizations. I mean, you know, the National Organization for Women, Amnesty International, Save the Children. I mean, but I feel that when you mention any of those, you get a certain degree of respect. Probably the least of those would be the National Organization for Women, because I feel women's rights are still the most lagging behind in this country. But I mean, if you say you're a member of a civil rights organization, nobody will kind of laugh at you or get that kind of smirk on your face. But I'm sure you're running. But when you say that you, care about animals, you know, you get that kind of pat on the head response. You know, like, yeah, you just care about animals, honey. It's that kind of animal lover, old woman feeding pigeons in the park thing.
Kind of like patronizing, like the little eccentric out there.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And I don't feel it's an eccentric thing at all. And then, you know, you'll throw a quote from Gandhi back at them, say about vivisection, which he called the blackest of all the black crimes. And he was, you know, a great vegetarian, as
for
you
sure.
know.
For sure, yeah.
And you know, they'll kind of say, yes, but he cared about humans first. Well, no, he didn't. It was because his empathy extended so far that it extended to all creatures that, you know, he was able to do what he did for humans. And so I just feel that because animal rights is still treated the most as a joke, that it deserves my greatest sympathy and attention.
Cool.
And certainly, I know I cried, you know, just as much when my dog died as when my grandmother died. I mean, they're all a part of your family.
For sure, for sure. And along those lines, how did you first become aware of the baboon testing at Columbia University?
Oh, well, that was through, I'm on, you know, PETA's email system, which, for better or for worse, gets news to you faster.
Right,
you know?
and plenty of it, yeah.
Yeah. Boy.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, so many things in so many periodicals I get about so many issues, you know, make me so angry.
Mm-hmm.
But because I live in a Columbia University building, and because I have so many friends who go to Columbia, and because I'm literally two blocks away from where they're doing this baboon testing, it really, really riled me. And I mean, I would have found out of it sooner or later, because now they've put up posters around the neighborhood, you know, about this. But it doesn't seem, you know, I hope that it's, you know, that they are concerned about it within Columbia and that they're doing something about it. But I don't think that the activism can stop. I just think it's heinous. You know, to think that doing that to a fellow primate who shares, you know, 99% of our DNA is going to solve anything, and indeed it doesn't, you know.
And what
and
is
I
this?
I mean, to test nicotine on monkeys, I think we know the effects of nicotine on them. And if you read the veterinary reports, it seems like, particularly with the baboons with the eye surgery, that the proper anesthetic was not being utilized. That's a gross violation, and they really need to stop. I mean, I feel that any animal testing is inhumane, and it's a backward step for our society. It's no kind of progression. But then when you read about actual veterinary, you know, violations, those labs just need to be closed.
Well, and absolutely, and you know, we're going to play in a moment. Columbia is Bleeding, the song you wrote about this. But what exactly is the kind of testing they are doing, baboon testing that they're doing at Columbia?
Well, it's to replicate the effects of stroke in human victims, and so they I'm sorry, this isn't the most cheerful show, but they...
No, but I mean, we're covering ground, yeah. And we heard the dog song, and we're going to talk about that and other stuff, so we got some ground to cover, yeah.
Well, they remove the eyeball from the eye socket, and they place a clamp on the, what do you call it, the vein that attaches to the eyeball.
Okay.
And in addition to that, that they implant, you know, various brain monitoring functions on the brain itself, you know, which requires an electronic monitor to be basically, you know, attached
implant.
To the skull.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they basically monitor it.
Wow.
You know, for years
to see
of
what
time.
What happens, basically. Yeah.
And I mean, I under the best conditions, to see then what happens to their brain and motor functions as a result of that.
Yeah.
And, to do that under the best of conditions, and then just leave a monkey in a cage or a baboon in a cage, and watch them deal with this. I mean, it's just wrong. You know?
Sure.
That doesn't go any step towards solving the problem. But to do that with apparently wrongly used veterinary care and wrongly applied anesthetic that was not a good enough. Eye surgery is so painful that humans need to have the utmost in attention paid to their anesthetic. And if any of that was, you know, if they were conscious of that, that would be absolutely, I mean, unimaginably painful for someone like me who's
for sure
worse, you know? And, but I mean, unimaginably painful for, you know, a Marine. I mean, that is.
That's extreme.
That's torture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's torture anyway.
Sure.
You know, to keep an animal under such conditions, you know, just because they can't talk and they can't vote doesn't mean they don't deserve a life. And certainly advances in our being able to deal with strokes and our care of stroke victims has happened regardless of these animal tests. And we do not need to continue them to help human beings. It's no help to us, really.
Well, to give them, I guess, some voice and to certainly call attention to this, you did write a song about this that's not on Get Away From Me, but I was fortunate enough to get a copy of it. So I'd like to play it now because I think it'd be really cool and tie in well to our conversation and the show overall. So this is Nellie sorry.
Oh, may I just say one thing?
Yeah, of course, please.
Well, at this point, it's lacking. There's a middle section. It's a shortened version of what will be on the next album. And in addition, I'm still very, very angry about this issue, and these labs need to be shut down.
Sure.
However, I want to take a somewhat less self-righteous approach to the song on the album, which doesn't, you know, it all lessen my belief in it,
mm-hmm.
but that I do know that protest songs can sometimes come across as preachy
or shrill,
mm-hmm. which perhaps on your show is fine, because this is a show I think, you know, that is listened to by people who love and care about animals.
Absolutely.
But
we can also not play this if you'd rather sort of like hold off till we can hear the version you want people to hear on the forthcoming album. We can certainly not play this and just keep chatting.
Oh, no, but just to keep that
okay.
in mind,
sure.
if I do sound
okay.
a little self-righteous.
Okay, well, we aim to please here at Talk Animals, so we always want to give you the option that we wait and hear Columbia's Bleeding, but let's hear it now. It's like a couple of minutes, 2.5 minutes song, and then we'll come back and do a little more chatting with Nellie McKay. So don't go away, listeners, don't go away, Nellie, and here is Columbia is Bleeding from Nellie McKay.
The day begins, and there you are, the mother sways the shins. Here comes the footstep of the man who made your dreams. The tube is fitted in, and there you are, the death had said to do. Holding coffee cup, have to go to a bar.
and a flyer. I must admire how dedicated you are. I don't want to know if you're having fun or your medals are on sale. I don't want to know if you got a gun or a new step son or you think you're gonna bail. Wear your eyes, pass it by, ride a little, lose the lion, sacrifice a little time to make the world free. Close the labs, don't you laugh, do the math, face the fact that while you're sitting in your class, colonial is bleeding. The surgeon is in town. Differences have to surface of strife. I don't want to know if you're having fun or your madams are on sale. I don't want to know if you got a gun or a new step son or you think you're gonna bail. Wear your eyes, pacify, ride a little, lose the line, compromise a little time to make the world freer. Close the lab, don't you laugh, do the math, face the fact that Bobby was killed.
All right, that's Nellie McKay with Columbia's Bleeding, a track not found on her wonderful debut album, Get Away From Me, but apparently going to be on the forthcoming one. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Cool. And while the song was playing... go ahead.
Oh, no, I wanted to mention that, you know, if my rather cursory explanation, if you wanted a better one, if you go to ColumbiaCruelty.com, I mean, they've got all the documents, you know, affiliated in the case against Columbia, you know, the medical reports, the veterinary reports, and they've got a further explanation.
Cool. And meanwhile, Nellie, while that song was playing, a listener did call in, so let's see if we can have her join us for whatever question she might have for you. Hold on one sec. Hi, is our caller there?
Yes.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
You have a question for Nellie McKay?
Yes, I do. I just want to tell her how much I appreciate, and I'm really in awe of her beautiful voice and lyrics and her commitment to this cause. I was just wondering, is she ever considering some political, future career in politics eventually?
Well, thank you so much for thinking of me. I feel that in politics, because I used to think that when I was younger, you know, you never know, but it seems like you have to compromise way too much for my liking. And I can't imagine, say, considering a bill and then somebody, you know, tacks some, and I hate this term, but pork onto it, you know?
Right.
And then you want this one thing, so then you have to vote for something that you completely don't believe in. And I saw that so much because I used to do these little student legislatures that I just thought, my God, I'd rather just make a lot of money and lobby, you know?
Right, you can accomplish so much doing what you're doing, of course.
Well, I hope.
Oh, no, I'm sure you are. And this has been a wonderful show. So thanks very much. I was just interested if you're considering that. Besides, you're very young, so who knows?
Definitely. Maybe politics will change.
There you go. Thanks for talking.
All right,
to
thanks
me.
For
Bye-bye.
Calling into Talk Animals. So cool, Nellie. Well, I just because at one point you made a comment that that's true is that we, you know, when we got into to the Columbia situation, some other stuff, you know, and some of the other activism. I mean, you know, you are obviously very passionately concerned about that. But I also want people to know who may not be as familiar with you that the album Get Away From Me covers a lot of cool topics and there's some really upbeat, fun stuff. In fact, would it be fair to say that at least in the realm of kind of animal songs, the dog song kind of stands in fairly sharp contrast. I mean, it's sunny and it's upbeat and it's optimistic, right? I mean,
certainly. Yeah. And there are a few other animal mentions on there. But, yeah, I guess, you know, someone once described rock and roll as fun songs about sad stuff.
Hmm.
And while there's a lot of up-tempo stuff on my record, I do think that a lot of the subject matter does have to do with the darker side of life, but I just think that you know, it does deal a contrast.
Sure. Well, and again, that's the dog song, I mean, you know, not to oversimplify, but kind of just like the the fun of having a canine companion and the joys of walking a dog. I mean, that's pretty cool. That's pretty
right.
Upbeat. Can you hold on 1 second? I think we might have another caller.
Oh.
Hi, you're on the air live on Talking Animals with Nellie McKay.
Oh, great. Hey, I had a question for Nellie.
Cool.
How do you get your animal fixed when you're on the road? Do you bring animals with you?
That's a good question. I don't. I really don't. They don't even let people under 21 into my venues, never mind animals. So sometimes there's a dog backstage. There was a nice one in L.A., but that's about, I really want a dog, and I want a dog way more than I want a band. My record label doesn't understand that. But I couldn't put a dog or a cat or any animal in cargo, because we used to do that with my former dog, Joey, and I just think it was hell for him, you know. I not to be too oversensitive, but I really think it's a dangerous and it's a very disturbing thing for any animal to live through. So, and since we have to take so many plane rides everywhere, that's just not feasible at this point. So until we can pay for an extra seat for Joey or whatever his name is, you know, then I'm going to have to...
Do without,
precisely. Yeah. And just kind of make friends.
Yeah, you can make friends, and you can go visit places and animals and shelters and things on the road as time permits. I'm sure at this point there's plenty of... Not a lot of downtime, I'm sure. But
if more reporters would bring their...
That's the thing. Maybe from now on, maybe your requirement for interviews is, hey, you got to bring an animal to the interview.
And you could put it maybe like as a writer in your contract backstage. There's got to be, you know, a pettable, huggable dog or cat.
There you go.
Oh,
see?
I love that.
Forget crazy catering requirements. I need an animal. There you go. I like it. I think we're onto something here.
Oh man. Well, I'll keep that in mind. It's better than putting, you know, Diet Snapple in your
right. Yeah, or no brown M&Ms or whatever it might be. Yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
Okay,
so,
well,
all right.
A
thanks
lot.
So much for calling.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Okay, Nellie. Well, shoot, we're just about at the end of our time, but gosh, I've had such a nice time speaking with you, and I think obviously our listeners have really enjoyed listening
to you.
Well,
you have two really nice callers.
No, we're nice people here at Talking Animals, and our listeners are nice people, and again, we're animal people as you are. So, and I'm glad also we got to hear, actually before you came on the air, we played Ding Dong, and so we heard a couple things from the album, and we heard Columbia's Bleeding from the forthcoming album, even though it'll be a different song. So we got a nice little sampling of Nellie McKay. So again, I thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals, and we wish you good luck, and hopefully we'll see you next time you're in town, and maybe sometime we'll...